and their Lord, and they still fall asleep. And he struggled with that. The same physical things that we struggle with, he struggled with. Go ahead, Jeff.
Again, you reminded me of something. Of course, especially when you're on the battlefield and you're on guard duty, you don't against. But even in that scenario, we see that those who are supposed to be real close to him fall asleep, fell asleep. And of course, that's a warning to us too. That we become numb to his purpose. That we become indifferent to his love. We shine from our responsibility. When we consider what our Lord just went through, and you talk about his humanity, that we can see that. We need to see that. We need to realize that. We need to embrace that. But above that, to fully understand and comprehend God's righteousness, and that God demanded that price to be paid for our sins. So that's the higher calling. That's the bravery. That's humbleness, humility. And that the only lamb that would be acceptable for this situation was his very own son. How fortunate we are,
amen,
that we do have a Savior who is willing to do that. And how sad we are that we don't fully acknowledge and live for him because of what he's done. God is righteous.
Yeah, we've been talking about from the very beginning of time that there's been plans made for this event to reunite us with the Lord. So what do you do when you have a wedding? My family's getting ready to go through that in October. My daughter's finally going to get married. And you plan. For months you plan to make sure that glorious event occurs. But we got to also understand that he's not only planning for that crucifixion and that reuniting to get us back to save us, but he's planning for that great wedding, that great joyful day when we're able to join in him in heaven. That joyful, he's from the very beginning, that's all he's wanted, to have his bride. We're the bride. And he's looking forward to that day now. He's going to have that day because of everything that's made in place. And it's been planning from the very beginning until we are finally reunited. That big wedding day is coming. And that's also part of the perspective that we need to realize. Wesley, thank you.
No, I'm going to get you the shoes on, say so.
Huh?
Well, I was just going to say, this brings to mind to me too that Jesus created us. He spoke us into being. And he loves his creation. Or I should say, God loves his creation. He's like a parent. I mean, no matter what our children do, we're going to do all within us to make sure that they are safe. Doesn't matter what they did, and it doesn't matter what it will cost us. We're going to do anything to make sure that they are safe. Jesus is so full of love for his creation that he was willing to lay down his life, because he didn't, like he says, none of them, he doesn't want any of them to get lost. And I think this shows especially when he looks at Jerusalem and says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you like a hen gathered his chicks, you know, but you didn't want to, you fought it. And the sorrow in those words, I can almost hear them because of this. And he knew he had to go to the cross to save them, to give them away, to be safe, let me put it this way. And it reminds me of a parent, how they would sacrifice anything and everything, even their own lives, to keep their children safe.
And we bring up a good point. He has sorrow for the lost.
Yeah.
He's not saying, well, you don't follow me, then fine. This is what's going to happen to you. He physically has sorrow for the lost. And we're supposed to have that walk like Christ. And he's willing to do whatever he took, whatever he can to make a difference, to change people's mind, to make that sacrifice. How much more should we have that same feeling towards those who are lost?
Yeah.
It should impact us. It should hit us in our hearts to say, hey, somebody doesn't want to accept it. Jesus never forced himself down anybody's throat. We talked about that the last few weeks, that his approach, he was there for them. But he didn't yell and scream at them saying, if you don't take this, all these bad things were going to happen. He tried to tell them how much he loved them and let them make their choice. Because as Chucky was taken, it's your choice, free will, to love him or not, to stay with him or walk away. You see what he has to offer and you want it that bad and understand it, or you don't care and you walk away, and that's your choice. Scripture tells us he's waiting at the door for us. He's not forcing himself into our home because he loves us and lets us make that choice because he wants that true love.
Chuck, you're getting ready to say something.
And in his own words, our Savior said, follow me.
Follow me.
Nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else. And he brings it, I mean, he even clarifies it for those who may not truly understand what that means. Another scripture he knows is that you gotta love me more than.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he puts it out there. Now, that's not to be just a list and that's it. We're supposed to grow beyond. And the concept of if you love something, your car, more than me, you are not worthy. If you love your job more than me, you are not. And I said, well, that doesn't say that. The truth is right. But the principle, the truth, is in that even used to something that you can relate to. So you can bridge that gap and make it apply to everything in your life. And if you're going to put that first before God, you will have to give an account. And again, Scripture says, but Father, didn't we do this in your name too? And what are you going to say? Apart from me, I never knew you. This is the same man who took 4 spikes through his body. We took the beating that probably none of us here could survive. The same man who was spit at. This is be the one who's going to say, depart from me, I never knew. Those words are written in Scripture for our benefit. That we can understand, yes, that he is loving. There's no doubt. But do not discount. His righteousness will prevail. That's why there is a judgment coming.
Let's look at, you know, we talked about this, you know, when we hear, when God comes into the picture, when we hear his voice, remember we talked about the baptism, we talked about that, we ended this last week, so I didn't want to just end it very quickly, because this is one of those key points that we, of our studies of this week. You know, Christ says, I'm going to glorify you, Father. You know, I can just imagine him just letting it out. The whole purpose of this is to glorify my Father. That's why I got to go through what I got to go through. And when he says that in John 12, verse 28, then a voice came out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. It was telling all the people, I've glorified it and I'm going to do it again because there's something greater coming. And God speaks. And this is one of those moments that really sticks out. You know, we talked about it several weeks ago now about baptism. So how the world takes baptism lightly. Some say you have to. Some say you only got to believe. But when God speaks and says, hey, this is my beloved Son who I'm well, when he comes out of heaven and says, hey, this moment is important to me, it's going to be important to me too. And I can't see how the world can take baptism lightly because God spoke at that very moment. And now we're at one of those very moments again. This is that week. God makes a point to let everybody know who's around him. This is the point. This is the point that you're going to be saved.
Well, isn't it our way of, or shouldn't we live our life according to glorify God?
Exactly. That's the whole point. That's what, as our mission as Christians is to do our Father's will, as you just spoke earlier, from beginning
to end.
To end.
That's 24/7. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's not just on Wednesday. It's not only on Sunday, Sunday evenings, or things of that nature. It is 24/7 because God's love is showered upon us. How often? 24/7.
Carla, you mean right to say
that?
Oh, no. Yeah. But that's what we've been talking about the last couple sermons is our commitment, not only during worship, but not getting busy in our day-to-day lives, is to make sure that God is present in the way we have it. We're going to talk about that more. We're going to talk about the 10 versions and our talents of this Sunday lesson, is that's the whole point, being ready.
Also, you can see why Jesus was feeling so sad and why he cried when he was praying to drop those drops of blood. As his closest disciples that he asked them to stay awake, he knew the frailty of how weak he was in us. You know, and like the people that you mentioned about a wedding. When you sign on or when you get married, you say, oh, yeah, I'm going to be with you for life. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then over you say, well, man, I didn't sign on. You know? Or you get to the point where you kind of slap back and say, well, I didn't know I'm going to have to do that. You know? And as time goes on, it's, well, I didn't know that about you in the beginning, as if it made a difference. Time wears you down. Jesus knows that we are frail and that we don't get understanding. As we study his word, we get better understanding and we know this is supposed to build us up and make us stronger. But in that case, because we didn't know from the beginning. The disciples didn't know the whole town with them. And they still had to. And then it's okay. Now I'm going to do this. And I'm going to be different. I'm going to be steadfast. Where before, they're like, no, I'm not going to do this. And Christ came to them and told them, to follow me, on the cross. You got to do that on the cross. I think a lot of them would say, well, wait a minute, I'd like that to follow you, but I don't think I want to go that far, you know. Even some today that profess the Bible, you know that, well, you're going to have to be ridiculed, and you're going to stand up, and people are going to talk about you, and spit in your face, and, you know, make fun of you, and make you feel bad, you know. You would have, my family, my friends, dogs, well, no, I don't think I want to go through all that. Yes.
As humans, we focus on the hard things.
Yeah.
We try to measure the hard things if it's worth it, not seeing the value in all the good things that we receive. In marriage, the perfect example you talked about is mm-hmm. we can see ahead of time all the difficulties that we're going to have as a marriage because every one of them has them. You probably wouldn't go down that road.
Yeah, you can't see it.
Yeah, because I'm telling you. This year, August 20th, may be my 30th anniversary, and I'm not an easy person to live with. And I don't know how she stuck with me for 30 years.
Yeah.
But I told her after this 30 years, she's locked in. That's a life sentence, so she can't do nothing.
Yeah.
So whatever she got to do before August 20th, because we're done. We're locked. We're we're owned by each other.
Yeah.
Because I know what I've gone through, and she said it. She said it's about that commitment. It's not about the, always necessarily the bad times. You've got to focus on the good times and all the things, because there's so much more value there. But we focus on all our struggles and trials. I'm going to let y'all bring it to the close. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, even in a marriage, you can say at some point, well, I didn't know what it was going to take. When you stand before the Lord, you don't have an excuse to say, well, I didn't know.
Yeah.
And many of them is going to say that. I didn't know.
This is the whole week is that whole
exactly.
whole concept.
Yeah.
You can't say that this wasn't coming. You can't. He laid it out well ahead of time, and all that week is exactly what's going to occur to you.
Yeah.
And listen, we'll end with this. You know, the people heard God speak. Some of them thought it were angels. Some of them thought it was a thunder.
But Jesus said the voice was
for your benefit, not mine. I know what my Father needs. This was for y'all to hear and y'all to understand. I can't imagine truly hearing the voice of God come down. We haven't been able to experience that in our lifetime. But I can't imagine what that was like. I'm sure there was all kind of confusion where, what was that type of inference? But that was, Jesus told him, it was strictly for y'all's benefit, not mine. I know what I'm getting ready to go through. I know what it takes. I know what it. This is to reconfirm that this date is important. Just like we did with the baptism. Just like he did when he was glorified. And stuff like that. We only had a few occasions throughout the New Testament where God spoke.
You better listen.
And this is one of those moments. If God speaks, you need to listen. Because when he has something to say, it's not very often when it's in a voice like that. You better listen. Because he gave us all the Old Testament. He gives us the New Testament. There's no excuses why we should not understand. We're choosing not to understand.
Well, Brian, at the baptism of Jesus, not only did God verify who Jesus was by saying, this is my beloved son. But he also instructed them, hear ye him. Okay? Pointing the way, and this is God's voice saying this, pointing the way to where people should be and who they should listen to. But yet, it still didn't do it.
All right. That's it for class. We're going to pick up in lesson 18 with the inversion and the balance.